Welcome to this lecture series on the Jewish dietary laws. And while we were learning the 19 letters of Rav Hirsch, we spent a considerable amount of time discussing the mitzvos, Rav Hirsch's approach to explaining mitzvos. We often refer to Diane Grunfeld's exposition of Rav Hirsch in general, and to his explanation of the various mitzvos categories that Rav Hirsch discussed in particular. Now, in this series, we're going to take a specific and fundamental mitzvah, eating kosher, and discuss various approaches, including Rav Hirsch's approach, as to why we keep these commandments. And this series is based on Diane Grunfeld's work entitled The Jewish Dietary Laws, and I encourage anybody who is interested in this topic to purchase this two-volume work by Cincino Press. It's excellent. Although I am not going to read out of the book, this is clearly where I'm getting my ideas from and my sources from, and you're going to see that if you read the book, anything that I say is clearly from this book. Bearing that in mind, any mistakes that I make are solely my responsibility. Now, I would like to state at the outset that the purpose of this series is to give us some insight and understanding into the why of kashrus, of kosher. We are not having a practical halachic discussion. And even if we mention some of the very basic halachos in our discussion, one should not rely on anything practical based on this series, because that is not the purpose of this series. And furthermore, it's important to remind everyone that we keep mitzvos for no other reason than that Hashem commanded us to keep the mitzvos. Reasons that we put forth in our investigation are nice, and they may help us and our understanding of the commandments, and may deepen our Torah commitment and understanding of Hashem's vast Torah and commandments, and why He has us conducting ourselves in the various ways that we do. However, we never change anything that we do based on human reasoning, because humans are limited, and our reasoning, however good it may be, can and does fail. So, if our understanding is proven to be wrong, there is a danger that the Torah should, so to say, look like it's wrong and it has failed. And that would be, we would say, a finite human mind, so to say, standing in and judging God's infinite ways, which is, of course, ridiculous. So we keep mitzvos just because Hashem commanded them. That's it. That's the only reason. Now, our research and explanations that we're going to look into and see, those help us on our level to understand why we are doing what we are, and it advances our limud haTorah and gives tam to the mitzvos. Now, as long as one has this in mind, and Hashem and the Torah are a person's rock in life, then there is no danger of attempting to understand the mitzvos, and it should only help us in our observance of them. Just to give a brief introduction, there are basically two major mitzvos that categorize one as a Torah observant Jew. And one is keeping Shabbos, and the second is keeping kosher. And if one does these two commandments, he is, so to say, still within the fold. Now, the author points out that he purposely divided his book into a two-part work. The first book deals with kashrus related to meat and to blood, while the second book discusses kashrus in regard to vegetation and the land of Israel. So why is this divide important? So we're going to see that the purpose of the laws regarding meat and blood are to avoid certain substances from becoming part of the body. Because if these foods become digested, and as a result, it becomes part of man's makeup, then he becomes a less pliable instrument in God's service. In other words, it will affect him morally in general, and his ability to carry out the mitzvos in particular. And we can say regarding this category, we could apply the pasuk from Tehillim that says, "Sur meira," you should stay away from evil. Don't consume forbidden meats and blood. And on the flip side, the second part of the work dealing with vegetation and with Eretz Yisrael aims to instill within us morality and spiritual qualities. And to this, we could apply the second part of the pasuk from Tehillim, "Asei tov," you should do what is good. However, there is one fundamental overall purpose of all the dietary laws, a common denominator that pulls both sections together, and what is that? That is holiness. And regarding man, what does holiness mean? It means that you should work on yourself to be as morally pure as possible. Now, of course, as we begin the book, we are going to need to prove what we just said. We're going to need to prove that the purpose, or one of the purposes, of kashrus is holiness or purity, morality. We're going to have to prove that. And we're also going to have to prove whose idea is this, that if I eat certain non-kosher food, I become less pliable and it affects my morality. We're going to have to look into that. We're going to save that for the future. And this was just a very general overview. And next time we will begin by having a discussion regarding searching into the reasons of all mitzvos, not just kashrus in general, and some of the general approaches taken by the commentators as to how they specifically look into mitzvos. Because, of course, not all the commentators have the same approach. If you have any questions, comments, or criticisms, please email me at Daniel Y. Adler, @gmail.com. Thank you for listening.